the question was asked, how does a Baal Tshuva or a Ger contend with the fact that he has family members that are behaving differently? So, firstly, the ways of the Torah are pleasant, and its pathways are peace. We have to try and find things, ways of doing things that are going to be peaceful. At the same time, we have to do things that are going to be beneficial to our family and to our children. So a person can stipulate certain things to the parents when they come to our house. A person can say, Mom, Dad, in our house, if you're going to come, so you have to keep kosher. And you can't bring the kids treats, but we will buy the treats and you'll give it to them. And if you come to us, you have to keep Shabbos the way we keep Shabbos. You can't drive off in the middle of Shabbos. There are certain conditions that a person can make, and they're legitimate. In my house, I want you to respect my way of living. And a person can limit the contact that he has with their world, meaning, let's say they make a bar mitzvah. So I can show up. I don't necessarily have to bring the kids. If I have to bring the kids, so I can bring them to a part that's more innocent. And then there will be things that I can't bring them to. If a person's relative, God forbid, is intermarrying, so I could tell them, I'm sorry, I can't attend such a wedding. I cannot attend such a wedding. A person is having an interfaith marriage. A person's cousin is Jewish, he's marrying a non-Jew. So a person can say, look, I love you, I respect you, I feel very bad for you for what you're doing to yourself and your children, and I'm sorry, I cannot attend such a wedding. There are always nice ways of doing things, and we have to try to do it nicely, but there are going to be times when we have to draw red lines. We also have to try to find neutral situations where we could do things. If we make a barbecue and I'll bring all the food, and then we make a barbecue in Gan Sakar, that should be pretty innocent. So my kid sees that his cousin or his aunt doesn't cover her hair. It's not so terrible. Big deal. What does a kid know? I mean, that's not the issues we're talking about. And I have to try to make a circle of friends and family who are going to be the way I want to be. A person should choose the community he lives in, that it's a community that the kids can grow up and feel comfortable. A person should not choose to live right near his parents who are not religious. That's a bad move. You try to keep a distance from them. And if they live in the south, you go move to the north. So you'll meet once every so often, but not too often. I have a very good friend that his wife's parents made aliyah. We were chavrusas for a while. So when they made aliyah, I asked them, where are you guys going to live? So he was living in Jerusalem. So they said, we're moving to Jerusalem. So they moved to the north. And it was a very smart move, aside from the family relationship, but also for his kids. Said, I can't have my kids so close. If they'll be close, then the grandparents will hop by on Shabbos. They'll hop by. Are they going to leave their keys with the switch for the car behind? No. They'll take the keys with them. They'll park three blocks away. They'll do all kinds of things, and there's limit to what I could tell them. So I'll tell them, don't come with your cell phones, and they'll forget, and they will come with their cell phones. So he said, I'll live far enough away that when they come, they'll have to come to me for a whole Shabbos. When they're by me, so they'll keep Shabbos the way they should. Now, I don't have to look at what they're doing in their private quarters. And I could also speak intelligently to a child. When your child is going to see people driving on Shabbos, which unfortunately, if you're living in Jerusalem, he will see. So some people think, let's lie to the kid. Let's tell him, oh, they must be bringing a woman to deliver. There must be an emergency. Okay, how long are you going to get away with that? And why lie to a kid? It's much better if you tell the child, isn't it sad? There are people whose parents didn't teach them what Shabbos is. And these are people who unfortunately don't know yet. My son sees people without a yarmulke and he asks me if they're Jewish. So I say, yes, they're Jewish. So he says, then why don't they wear a yarmulke? So I tell them, they don't have an Abba and Ima like you have. Their parents didn't teach them they have to wear a yarmulke. You're lucky, your parents do. So you're better off contending with the issues than hiding from them. But you don't have to put the issues in his face. So he'll contend with them enough throughout his life. And there's a difference between seeing someone else and knowing that someone else and seeing my grandfather and seeing, oh, that's an option too. So when it's one's close family, then one really has to think twice and try to minimize the relationship. And one can adopt. What a lot of Olim do is they adopt family. They find an old neighbor that they feel very comfortable with. And there are a lot of people who will be very happy to make very good close relationships to be adoptive families. And that's something that's very, very positive that could really build families. I have a neighbor who's Chozer B'Tshuva maybe 4 years. But the one who adopted them is a rabbi. So he comes, and he's like the uncle in the house. And he comes, and he sits with the kids. And when comes Pesach time, he spends an afternoon with them kashering their kitchen and going through the halachas with them. And so every family has to try and find families that they can connect with. a community where they can connect, and then hopefully you build relationships, and your children have other role models, and they have regular norms. The second you start confusing the norms of a child, then you're leaving him confused. It's a challenge. It's a balance. And part of what a parent can do is try and form a relationship, maintain a relationship with the parents, give their heretz, and at the same time minimize their relationship with the grandchildren. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy. It takes a lot of thought. But a person has to know how to balance it. So you send gifts. So you find excuses and you minimize the time that you're there. If you have to be there, and when you can, you bring them to your domain where you could call the shots.
To the same subject, for the very reasons you said, they know too, but that's as comfortable as I do, and that's as comfortable as my children are not also, that they are going to be able to influence them more than necessary. Do you think that's okay, or do you think that's a very
good? No, I think it's a very good idea. It's a brilliant idea. It's unfortunate, it's very sad, it hurts me to hear it. I think that not teaching them the language is an excellent way to do it. And I saw when I visited my parents, so my wife was always careful to talk to my kids in English, and because they speak English, so they were able to play with all their cousins and do everything. Other kids come, and when they don't speak the language, so they're like standing on the side, just looking, wondering. It makes a world of a difference. If they don't talk the language, then it's a brilliant idea what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. I'm sad to say it, believe me. I'm sad to say it, but I think it's the better option in the long run. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I wouldn't tell the kids that, by the way. Not the kids, nor the grandparents. That has to be your own secret. Yeah.
Is it appropriate for the child to find out that they have cousins when they're like 18? Then, like, no matter what, they're always going to find an appeal in their closest peer group. Part of the reason why I'm from is because my dad's first cousin is from, and I met my cousins at my bar mitzvah, and my cousin, who's like a month older than me, he's now completely not religious, and he now just like went like this, like crazy proper. And I also have Joyce, a cousin who lives in the same town as my parents, and my brother married a girl who's like of questionable Jewish origin, and they're really not going to raise their kids Jewish. My brother said, he just had a son about 2 months ago. He said, if when my son's 20 years old, he wants to be a Jew, you can have him. And I'm like, he's going to be worthless at 20, even when he's like 3 or 4. And my brother's mother-in-law got him to pour a libation to the ancestors, which I wanted to hit my brother in the head with a rock.
And I'll tell you, there's room to differentiate between a ger and a chozer b'tshuva. In general, it's once children reach a certain age, you're taking a certain risk by playing games with the truth. So I think if you tell a kid he has a cousin, but because they're not religious, so we don't get to spend so much time together, I think you're being more fair to the child. I'm not sure I'm right in what I'm telling you, and I recommend you hear someone else's opinion. What I think is that if a person is a ger, if a person is a ger, so then halachically the child does not have a cousin. Halachically that isn't his cousin. A person who becomes a ger has no family. He's starting from scratch. Technically a ger could marry his sister and could marry his mother. We don't allow it rabbinically, but technically there is no familial relationship. Once he becomes a ger, we say start that the person was just born. He was just born from the water he came out of. But I'm just saying, so there's room to differentiate. Person who's a ger, so there's more room to leave the family out, because really, from a Jewish perspective, they're not family. And there I don't think there's as much room for the child to have claims. And there's no reason they should be a part of that child's life, especially if they're on another continent. But if a person was Chozer B'tshuva, where technically they are family, so then I think it's better to do it that way. Even in the situation of a Ger, because most Gerim do not break a complete break from their family, so then there's room to think that you're not going to win if you're going to play a game with the kid. And you might be better off just telling it in passing, not making an issue of it. Very often we make the issue of it. And you're probably much better off if it comes up in passing once. You just mention it. There are a lot of things that you should get out of the way, say in passing. You following what I'm saying? It's like a... Think of the guy who you... I don't know what your situation is. I can't address it. I have no idea that. We could discuss one-on-one. In general, I think those would be the guidelines I would think of. But again, I'm a young guy. I recommend you speak to someone else and hear another vantage point. See what someone else has to say. That's what I think. My Peter talked to Rav Dimkevich. He has a lot of experience. This is my humble opinion.